We know that the word of God has blessed you richly as you have listened to this word in power and excellence. Listen each Sunday at the same time or visit us at 416 DeSoto Street for regular scheduled services, Sunday school starting at 9:45 a.m., Sunday morning worship beginning at 11 o'clock a.m., Wednesdays 7 o'clock p.m., or phone us at 318-253-6232 or 318-264-0301 or on the World Wide Web at pdusk3@aol.com. And remember, there is always room at the cross for you. Now there is power.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, and presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
I don't fret because he'll see about me.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 N.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
It's that time of year again. Spring has come, and the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church is abuzz and planning its annual Family Day Concert, Saturday, May 17th, 7 p.m. at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street, Leesville, Louisiana. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, Reverend Joseph L. Garner, Sr., pastor, is the place where God blesses his people. Each year, Family Day showcases people and persons to the community of Leesville with the finest and most entertaining vocalists and groups in the music industry. So with that said, Pleasant Hill Baptist Church 2014 Family Day presents Stellar and Grammy Award winners, the world-renowned Gospel Quartet, Harvey Watkins, and the Canton Spirituals of Canton, Mississippi.
I'm starting my life over again.
Come from a poor family, we didn't have much, but the Lord been good to me.
It's going to be a foot stomping, toe tapping, and hand clapping time in the house of Zion. Put your praise shoes on. Come dressed and ready to praise like never before. If you haven't experienced the essence of the Canton Spiritual, you'll miss a portion of a little heaven on earth. Come and be blessed. Tickets are a $20 donation. Tickets available at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, 337-238-1779. In Alexandria at KAYT 88.1, 318-484-2500. Do Drop In Barbecue, 318-256-0400. Tammy Creations, 337-494-1592.
After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Verse 5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And then verse 8, Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Amen. Amen. I want to talk, and y'all know that our theme for this year is serving the King in 2014. And every now and then throughout the year, I like to offer a station identification break. Amen. Just as a reminder that not only is that our theme, and it's not just a theme for us to say it's our theme, but it is our theme so that we might be actively engaged in accomplishing the theme in our church. Amen. So if our theme is serving the King in 2014, it is incumbent upon us, amen, to be about our Father's business. We've got to serve him. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. There's a grave problem outlined here in this text, and it is what some have called the greatest enemy of the church, and that is the problem of indifference. Indifference. Indifference is Christianity's greatest enemy. Not hell, not the devil, not evil, not opposition, not oppression, but indifference is our greatest enemy. Indifference, that does not matter one way or the other. I heard a preacher describe what were, in his opinion, some of the saddest scriptures in the Bible. And among those passages of sad scriptures in the Bible was that one quoted by John when Jesus, after feeding the 5,000 men, plus women and children, with two small fish and five cinnamon roll-sized pieces of bread. The Bible says that after Jesus fed them, amen, the Bible says that they turned and followed him no more. Jesus turned to his disciples after that and asked them, will you go away also? That's a sad scripture. Amen. Then there was the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and asked him, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And in the end, when Jesus told him to sell all that he had and give to the poor, the young man with all of his potential, the young man with all of his possibilities refused. And Luke says that he went away sorrowful. The only man I ever read about in the Bible who, after meeting the Lord Jesus, amen, who went away sorrowful. That's a sad passage of scripture. Then there is the 142nd number of Psalms. You Bible readers will remember how it says that I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I looked on my right hand, amen, but behold, there was no one there, amen. There was no one there. He says, refuge failed me. Nobody cared for my soul. That's a sad passage of scripture. Well, I want to suggest to you that this morning that this passage that we have before us today is also a very sad passage of scripture. For we hear a man who has been ill, amen, for 38 years. I said 38 years. We hear a man who has been crippled for 38 years. We can hear a fully grown man, but not a whole man, for he was not able to move about with his own strength. Amen. We can hear him saying, I don't have anybody. I don't have anyone. when the water is troubled. I don't have anyone to help me get into the pool. Tell your neighbor, that's a sad passage of scripture. For it just seems to me, my brothers and sisters, that somebody in the span of 38 years, it just seems to me that someone would have come to his rescue. I mean, not just 1 year, not just 2 years, but 38 years. It just seems to me that someone would have had enough compassion. It just seems to me that somebody would have had enough God in them, amen, to come to his rescue. So this man was not just a victim of infirmity. He was not just a victim of a physical malady. My brothers and sisters, this man was a victim of indifference. I don't have anybody. When the water is troubled, to help me get into the pool. It just seems that in all of those years, somebody would have offered him some assistance. It just seems to me that somebody should have seen his condition and felt compelled to help this man into the pool. Am I the only one in here today, amen, who feels like during 38 years, somebody should have offered up a hand? Somebody, amen, should have been more concerned about someone else than they were about themselves, that they would have felt compelled to help this man. Oh my, this brother was in trouble. He was in bad shape. Amen. But he didn't have anybody to help him into the pool. Let me say here that it is better to be discriminated against than to be ignored. Can I get a witness? I said it's better to be discriminated against than to act like I don't even exist. You know, amen, if you're gonna be impartial, amen, at least acknowledge that I'm there. But it's real rude, amen, to act like somebody is not even there. Do I have a witness today? Jesus, in his life on earth, had to deal with indifference. He says, "To what shall I liken this generation?" And y'all, I believe that if the Lord were here today, he would still be saying the same thing. To what can I liken these folk today? Amen. It seems like the more I do for them, the less they pay me any attention. Amen. It seems like the more I bless them, the less they give me praise. It seems like the more I deliver them out of dark situations, it seems like the less, amen, they come to worship me. Oh my, we're living in dark and terrible times. Jesus said, in essence, I piped to them, but they wouldn't dance. I moaned unto you, and you didn't cry. He found a church that was neither hot nor cold. And we have a lot of people that don't care about the Lord's church. They don't come to prayer meeting. They don't come to Bible study. Tell your neighbor, they're just indifferent. Don't matter one way or the other. Amen. As a matter of fact, some of them sitting at home watching TV, singing, amen, I'm on my way to heaven anyhow. I'm going anyhow. Amen. Amen. And just maybe somebody may be at home right now watching us on the streaming internet. And we thank God for the streaming internet, but we didn't put that in place, amen, for you to have church at home. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. Now, we thank God that there are members, amen, who are in Afghanistan and other places, and they have the blessed privilege to watch us by way of the internet. But I'm just foolish enough to believe that if God has done some things in your life, you ought not mind, amen, coming to the house of worship to give him praise. Tell your neighbor, don't be indifferent about worshiping God. Don't be indifferent about praising God. Is there anybody here today who knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is worthy to be worshiped? He's worthy to be praised. But so many are indifferent. Amen, amen. Let somebody else do it. Let somebody else, amen, pay the light bill. Let somebody else, amen, take care of that. Oh, y'all, but God has been too good to me. to sit down on him. As a matter of fact, can I tell y'all something? If it had not been for the Lord on my side, because see, I had to figure out, amen, because for a while I thought if I had the right people connections, I thought everything would be all right. I thought if I had the right friends in high places, amen, that no matter what came, I always, you know, I could pick up the phone. But is there anybody here who found out that some of the folk you thought had your back? Yeah, they had it. They had it. They had it way back. The more trouble you got in, the further back they got. So you ought to not be indifferent about worshiping a God that woke you up this morning. You ought not be indifferent about giving praises to a God that put food on your table and clothes on your back. I can't be indifferent about that, but I need to tell you there's something else you ought not be indifferent about. You ought not be indifferent about service. You ought not be indifferent about helping somebody. Because don't you hear Jesus saying that as often as you've done it unto the least of these, don't fool yourself, you've done it unto me. Do y'all know what Jesus was saying in essence? He was saying, if you won't help them that you see every day, if you won't help, amen, some of them your blood, if you won't help those folk, Jesus says, I ain't no fool. I know you won't help me. So we can't be indifferent about that. Amen. He has called us out of darkness into the marvelous light. Not for us to get in the light and brag about eyes in the light, eyes in the light. Some folk get saved, amen, they're so happy they're saved that they come in rejoicing about how they're saved, amen, but forget that God didn't just save you for you to brag and boast about the fact that you're saved. He saved you, amen, so you could help save somebody else. He healed you so you could let somebody else know that he's in the healing business. He rescued you from your addiction so that you could inform somebody else that the same God that delivered you from an alcoholic situation, the same God that delivered you from a crack pipe, turn to your neighbor, he can help you too. God has been good. So I wanted to just remind us that as believers, we have a responsibility to serve. Can't be indifferent about it. Amen. You have a responsibility to serve. We have a responsibility to help people. Cannot be indifferent. We cannot see people plagued with problems and be indifferent. We have a responsibility to help somebody. Amen. Amen. We've got a responsibility. You know, if somebody comes to you and they say that, you know, a lot of times we condemn folk who come in the church. We talk about what they had. Did you see what he had on? Did you see what she had on? Shame. Ooh, my mama would have never let me come to. But you don't know. That might be all they have to come to church. And if we would stop being so judgmental, amen, get close enough to folk to find out their dilemma, and you might be able to help somebody. We have a responsibility to serve. But then secondly, I want you to look at the request of the master, because Jesus recognized this man's situation. He recognized, the Bible says, Jesus knew that he had been there a long time, and Jesus was moved with compassion. But watch this. Before Jesus could help the brother, Jesus had to get a question answered. Jesus said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. You do know, don't you, that not everybody in bad situations really want deliverance. I can't tell you how many times I've counseled some sisters, amen, they were in a relationship where they were being beat up and abused and mistreated and all of that, amen. And one thing, when I'm counseling married couples, I always try to save the marriage. Except when there is physical violence and abuse. And it ain't always against the woman. Amen. You sisters done got tough. I've had some brothers I had to give tissue. Here's some tissue. Hallelujah. But every now and then I've encouraged one or two, you know, you need to get out of that relationship. Because you're going to end up, amen, in a morgue somewhere. You're going to end up in a, no, I just love him. I just love him so much. Amen. Didn't want deliverance. I've even been in cities and seen homeless people, amen, lying out in a cardboard box on a sidewalk in the cold sometimes. And I've gone up to them and offered them some help, amen. And every now and then I've asked them, you know, why do you stay in this condition? You know, and one of them told me, I like it like this. I ain't got no house note, no car note. I ain't got a punch in on nobody's clock. So you need to understand that some people don't want deliverance. They're comfortable in their situation. So Jesus says, before I step out for you, I need to ask you, do you want to be made whole? Turn to your neighbor, ask your neighbor, do you want to be made whole? Oh my, if you're sick, my brother, if you're sick, my sister, the Lord would want to know, do you want to be healed? You can get all, and you know, I can get some all, olive oil, or canola oil, or whatever the oil is, and bring you up here in your sickness and put all on you, amen. But if you don't want to be healed, pastor's wasting his time. Amen. Do you want to be whole? So Jesus needed to know that. And then finally, we see the response of this man. Because Jesus, after, amen, the man made what I call an excuse, you know, because he went right on back to talk about, won't nobody help me. Won't nobody help me. Amen. But Jesus, in his compassion, looked through what the man was saying. He looked into his heart, and he realized that brother really did want to be made whole. Amen. And so Jesus, look what Jesus does. Jesus, after asking him, do you want to be made whole? Amen. The man says in verse 7, I have no one when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, somebody jumps in front of me. Ooh, couldn't have been me. Couldn't have been me. Hallelujah. I'm talking about if you really want to be made whole. He says, somebody jumps in front of me. But then Jesus says to him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Now understand that as Jesus was trying to deliver this man, Jesus told him to get up. He could have kept on complaining. He could have said, I'll get up after you heal my body. He could have said, I'll get up after I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that my healing has come. But every now and then, what the Lord does is he tests our faith. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm glad.